welcome again. Pastor Deborah here, and we're in another wonderful section, episode, of a powerful teaching series called The Kingdom of Darkness, Spiritual Babylon. This episode is entitled, Who is the King of the Kingdom of Darkness? We're beginning episode number 33. We have to understand who is our spiritual enemy. This picture back here is from Google Free Clipart, and we want to say thank you. I'm recording through Zoom Pro, and I'll put this through Wondershare, the video editing program. I'll add music and titles, transitions to help you. But this picture is a picture, sort of, in one of his many forms. His name is Satan, which means the adversary of God. He didn't look like this at his beginning. He was a beautiful archangel, almost like a high eunuch, a minister in an empire, a kingdom. But he was beautiful, and we'll get to a lot of that. But right now, we're picking up on who the Bible of King David, Abraham and Isaac, King James says he is. So we're going to pick up there. But first, welcome to all of you. If I look a little different, I switched places in my chair, trying to get this right here for you. So welcome again to another wonderful episode of Who is the King of the Kingdom of Darkness? Let's open up first with prayer, and then we can begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your spiritual truths that will help us understand our enemy, for we are in a battle with an unseen enemy. He's an enemy of the spirit realm who works through our soul, our flesh, and physical body. He's a lustful and greedy, hateful and revengeful spirit being who cannot have what he wants, but he is seeking it with everything he has. He's full of fiery lust, never satisfied, full of hate, greed, jealousy, envy. Father, we have to see him. Oh, he won't show his face to most of us. He wants us to believe that he doesn't really exist. But he's there. I know it and you know it. And 2/3 of the angels in heaven know it. So, Father, help us as we learn about him so that we can see him as he works on planet Earth through people, through nature, and we can understand his nature, who he is, so that we can learn how to be his adversary and we can fight against him behind his enemy lines, face to face, and we can confront him out in the world. And that we can be victorious in your name. So help us as you teach us through the Holy Spirit, our Master Teacher. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. We were going through the many different names of this creature. It started off as Lucifer, which meant son of the morning, son of the first age. He was never a child of God, his creator. He was a servant, and he was to serve the king, and he was to serve the children that were to come. But he got prideful in his thoughts. He wanted it all. He wanted to usurp the king of the kingdom of heaven. He wanted the throne. And he refused in his own mind to just be a servant. He was not content. He was so glorious and beautiful that the glory and all of his power and majesty began perverting him. Pride was lifted up. He became the one who would rule everyone and everything. God heard it all, and he kicked him out of the kingdom of heaven. He kicked him to earth, believe it or not, and we have to deal with him. And he is actually a teacher to us to help us understand evil and wickedness, the knowledge of good and evil, deception and greed and lust, all the unrighteous things that can happen to us. To our spirit. He is a spiritual being. He cannot take human form, but he can take on all sorts of shapes. And he does come through humans. He can come in dreams. And he can get you to believe that he is just funny, something you do at Halloween. He's not real. But here we're going to learn, and you must learn yourself, that you have a spiritual enemy here on the planet. Nature has a spiritual enemy. It is all subjected to him, used by him, tormented by him. And they are waiting for you to rise up as a spiritual righteous king from the kingdom of heaven and stop him from abusing nature, the weather, the animals, and people. So let's pick up. We have been working through some of his titles. He is called the Wicked One. Ooh. So let's read about the old Wicked One. We're going to go to Matthew. Matthew 13:19. This was during the days when Christ Jesus, the Son of the Living God, who had the Holy Spirit in him, was walking on the planet. God had returned after a long 400 years of not talking to us. He came in the form of Jesus the Christ. And Matthew was one of his early disciples. And in the book of Matthew, in the four Gospels, we are told that he is called the Wicked One, this Satan. When anyone hears the word of God, Jesus Christ is telling us, and understands it not, then comes the Wicked One, this guy, and catches away that which was sown in your heart, that which was spoken. When I speak, I'm throwing seeds to your ears to get implanted in your soul, in your mind. So Jesus is saying, when you hear the word of the kingdom, that's real important right there, but you don't understand it, then this guy comes and he will catch those words, steal them, uproot them, that have been sown in your mind. And this is he which received the seed by the wayside. That's you. You received the seed by the wayside. The seed's the word of God. But it's talking about the kingdom. If you do not hear teaching about the kingdom, then there's nothing to take away. It's only when you start understanding the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and that word is being teached and demonstrated about the authority and power of the kingdom, does this guy come. He's a spiritual being, so words are spiritual. They are carriers of blessing, truth, light, or deception, lies, and death. He will come spiritually and uproot them out of your spirit so they don't get planted. And then you become just one receiving stuff on the wayside. You don't get anything. He's also, and that was Matthew 13:19. Also in Matthew 13:19, it goes on and said, he is called the enemy. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. There are words that come from the devil. He sows seeds, words, into you. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So I have to study harvesting, reaping, the end of the world. I have to study about sowing seeds, planting. Jesus used everything when he was talking that people knew to help you understand about seeds that are words, the kingdom, how they get planted. So you have to study. He's talking in what you call parables. Parables are story. So you, A lot of it you might call them fairy tales. If you're a child, you'll learn through that. If you're in business, you can learn it through business ways. Entertainment, football, sports, you can learn it that way. But these are mainly farmers and planters. So he was talking their language. He's also called the Prince of the World in John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. This one, planet Earth, world, this one. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So he's called a prince, not a king. Prince means ruler. This world of the flesh, the natural world, the world of your biological body, the world of your soul. And there is a spiritual world down here, and it's at war with him. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is called the God of this world, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you do not believe in Christ Jesus as the King from the kingdom of heaven, you are blinded. A lot of the, what we call them, Orthodox Jews are still have a veil of blindness on them. They're still waiting for their Messiah to return, sort of a King David type. And to them, he hasn't come yet. Because when he did come, they didn't believe him. So they've got a veil of darkness still on them. If you believe in other gods, you still have a blindness. And you are blinded by the God of this world. And it says the reason that's done is lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, Christ means the anointed king of the kingdom of heaven, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan has to keep the image of God from getting into your spirit. He puts a veil over you. It's like, it's called the soul and the flesh. So when the words come, it's like water coming to a duck's back. It runs off. It cannot penetrate into your spirit because it's a glorious message of Christ. Christ means the anointed king of the kingdom of heaven. And this anointed king is the very image and likeness of God himself. So it was God himself who was down here, shining through the Christ, the spirit part of Jesus, to do battle with him. And Satan, the God and the King of the kingdom of darkness, does not want that light, that truth, that knowledge to get to your spirit, because he knows it's possible. So he keeps your spiritual mind blinded in darkness, ignorance, fear, torment, trances, multiple personalities. And he'll let your soul believe all kind of religious things, but not your spirit. Remember, this is a spiritual battle for the thoughts and the heart and the mind of your spirit. One spiritual being, Satan, battling against the Christ, the King of the kingdom of heaven, the image of God himself in the realm here on the planet. He's also called Belial. That may not be right. It's spelled B-E-L-I-A-L. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 6:15. And it says, and what concord or what relationship has Christ with Baal? Great question. Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? Now, if you hear that word infidel, that means an unbeliever. Now we're getting separated to believers and unbelievers. So Belial is just one of his demonic spirits, one of his nature, one of his DNA stuff out there, so to speak. And he is saying, I and this Christ, we got nothing in common. We don't believe the same. We don't work for the same stuff. We're not alike. If you believe in me, he says, you're an infidel if you believe in the other guy. So it's interesting. You go slow. And then you take it in today's world and you start listening to other religions and other people talking about who infidels are, who believers are. Another title he is called is the Prince of the Power of the Air. And that is in Ephesians 2, 1 through 2. Ephesians was written by the early disciples of Christ Jesus to the people in Ephesus, to the believers. And so they needed a lot of help back then because they were mainly believers in many gods or no gods, frightened people. So the evangelists, the early disciples of Christ, started going out. Paul was one of them, and he got to Ephesus. And so here's what he had to say. And you have been quickened, he says, to the Ephesians who believe in Christ Jesus. Means come alive to the belief in Christ, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead means you are separated from this truth, this light, separated from the kingdom of heaven, separated from this relationship. That's what dead meant. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, the way the world believed, the way culture showed you, the way your ancestors showed you, the way the invaders showed you or torture showed you. According to the prince, that means ruler, of the power of the air. Air meant words, culture, the atmosphere down here on the planet, life circumstances, the spirit, okay, that now works in the children of disobedience. So there is spirit here. There's a prince of the spirit of the power of the air. A lot of people don't understand the power of the air. It means words, circumstances. It's a spiritual thing. So we're learning right here in Ephesus that Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. He works in the children of disobedience to the truth. He helps to keep them dead in their trespasses and sins. So Paul is saying, you were like that once because of this guy. But not anymore. Satan is also called your adversary. Means enemy. Someone who's against you. Be sober. Be vigilant, he said. This is 1 Peter 5:8. Peter was another one of the early disciples of Christ Jesus. So he said he's called your adversary, your enemy. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Study lions. Study an enemy in war. study devils. Studying what sober means, what vigilant means. I see this a lot. Parents whose children get human trafficked through social media want to blame the traffickers for grooming. The lions are always here, everywhere, walking about, looking for the weak, the uneducated, ones he can devour. The parents have not prepared the children because of their own issues. The children are looking for love, companionship, excitement. They have not got a good family. The first groomers are the parents, the home environment, the ancestors, and the culture. They're just getting the child ready to be picked up. That's all. Don't blame the traffickers. They're just a lion looking for prey. The parents are sort of like the zookeepers. If you look throughout ancient history, children were mistreated, abused, neglected, abandoned, horrible treated by their parents, their father, their brothers and sisters. They were not educated. Even now, they're not. Children don't get the puberty talk, boys nor girls. They don't get what the enemy is. They don't get, even if they go to church, they don't get it in the youth ministry or the children's. There's a lot going on spiritually. There's a lot of ancestral ties, a lot of darkness happening at home. The child is just put out there, and the lions are waiting. In Revelations 9:11, which was written by John from the island of Patmos after he had a vision and a visit from Christ Jesus after his resurrection, they say this Satan, this king of darkness, he is called Abaddon or Apollyon. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. I may not be saying it right. A-B-A-D-D-O-N. But in the Greek tongue language, his name is Apollyon. Who is he? He's the angel of the bottomless pit. What do you think that means? When people commit suicide, they say they can't take it anymore. They have no more hope. They're in a bottomless pit, always falling. It can mean many things. Darkness. I'm trapped in a system that I can never get out of. I can't turn back. I've gone too far. And they just keep falling. There's no, sort of like being in a weightless atmosphere. There's nothing to ground you, nothing that you can hang on to. Every movement is exaggerated. There's no stability. You can see that in weightlessness in space. You can see that in torture chambers when they lay in a tank that's dark and full of water and you float. Nothing is real. You can't grasp anything. Everything is dark. And you hear screams and yells and it's just horrible. So he is the prince of that. A king over it, a ruler over it for your spirit. He is called a murderer and the father of lies. That's John 8:44. John was also a disciple of Christ. He was probably the youngest one of the first 12 of the disciples, and he wrote this. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. When you lie, you are a child of Satan. You have his DNA. Whether you're a politician, a king, a mother, a father, if you tell somebody something and it's a lie, you have the You are working for your father. You are his child. And you are a murderer. Lies murder people. You don't stand in the truth because there's no truth in you. Whenever you speak a lie, you speak from his nature. If you're a politician and you lie to us about your life, your family, your money, what you think, what you feel, that's Satan's nature. You're his representative, his minister, his ambassador. He's the father of it. That means the source of lies. You're working for him. He is called a great dragon. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old. Go watch a lot of movies about dragons. There seem to be some good ones. But he's called a dragon. The great serpent was thrown down, the serpent of old. Who was called the devil and Satan and deceives the whole world? That's Revelation 12. 9. The great dragon deceives the whole world. You ever thought about it? Interesting information for your spirit. Revelations 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power into the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's sort of an illustration. The dragon is behind a nation. The nation becomes the beast. The beast goes out through trade, business, all kinds of things, and takes over the world, devours the world. Lies, cheats, and steals. Kills other people through any means possible. The beast is powered by the dragon. And who's able to make war with this beast? Nobody. No nation, no government, because it's empowered by the dragon. This is the kind of world we live in. That's right. Nations are a part of it. Businesses are a part of it. Entertainment is a part of it. That's right. Parenting, religion, culture, ancestors. You might be living in a nation that's a beast, serving the dragon. So in this letter that I'm writing to, in this conversation with this young boy, I'm trying to help him understand who he's serving. He's been serving Satan all his life. He was born into the family that spiritually and genetically have been his for thousands and thousands and thousands of generations. Multi-generational serving Satan. So here's what I said to him. What is this guy? The boy is asking me this. What is this guy trying to do down here in this world? And I said, well, he's determined to be as God where he used to live. Since he could not take the place of God on God's throne in the kingdom of heaven, he decided to have a spiritual throne somewhere after he got sent out, kicked out as lightning. And he was kicked out to the earth. So the earth looked pretty good. So he started way, way back. You've been working steadily. God shows us a very clear picture of what happened to Lucifer. Satan's mind had become vain. That means prideful. And he was living and thinking from his vanity, his pride of his mind. Satan's understanding, his wisdom, had become darkened, perverted, confused. For he had become alienated from the life of God, its nature, its purity, which was his wisdom and light. Lucifer's ignorance now that was in him, because his heart had become blinded by his thoughts of his brightness. Was the foundation for Lucifer to dethrone the God as Lord of the kingdom of heaven in his own heart and lift himself up as Lord? We see that in presidents, politicians, business leaders, bankers, culture, organizations. They lift themselves up as God, that their word is true and that their way is right. And everybody should bow down, give money, serve them, fight for them. We see it, Satan's nature, everywhere. Now Lucifer's heart, because of its blindness, I told him, of his pride, had become numb to all the feelings of others. We have many politicians that are like that, many fathers, men, business owners, numb to children. We have many people numb to the innocence of a child in a womb. We have numbness of doctors, teachers, universities, families. Only his desires and his feelings were the authority, the most important ones. No one else mattered. Selfishness ruled in his heart. This guy lives in many of you, and you have his heart. And you are a citizen and a slave in the kingdom of darkness to him. He cares nothing for you. You are to trick and deceive humanity for him. And he'll throw you away when he's finished. And he'll laugh when you go to the lake of fire or hell, because he doesn't care about you. He only wants what he wants. You're just a pawn in his hands. You're ignorant, you're stupid, you're blinded. Now Lucifer was prideful, lord of his own heart, filled with iniquity, wickedness, perverseness, filled with violence towards God, the Lord that created him, the King of heaven. Wisdom now is corrupted. He's selfish, coveting what was rightfully the Lord's. Turned his perfect ways to ways of lasciviousness, greed. The word lasciviousness, let me spell it for you, lasciviousness. It means filthy, wantonness, lewd, lustful, an intense longing or craving, intense unbridled lust, intense desire or need, pleasure or delight, wish, vices. He began to work all uncleanliness. Uncleanliness means to be foul in ceremony, contaminated, defiled self, polluted self, religious worship and purity. And he began with all his uncleanness was with greediness. He was coveting now, selfishness for personal gain, without regard for others, for power. I told this young boy this dragon would build his spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, spiritual Babylon, in the hearts of fallen man. The dragon would be their lord, their king, their prince, their god of their hearts. Then he would rule God's world through the hearts of his slaves, his subjects of his kingdom of darkness. And that was the beginning of teaching this young man who is the king of the kingdom of darkness, spiritual Babylon. And that sort of ends this little part of who is the king of the kingdom of darkness. In this big book and this letter I wrote to this young man, there's a lot more to learn and study about the kingdom of darkness. And we're going to work through it. It's powerful stuff. You have to go slow. I have always been a teacher of topics, of subjects, and going slow. You have to understand you have a spiritual enemy, even if you are a believer in Christ Jesus as your Lord. You become an enemy to Satan, and he is here to blind you and get you, I'll say, you believe in Christ Jesus, who's a God who believes in life, but you vote for abortion. Guess who you're serving by your voting? Satan, the great dragon. That's right. Your deeds coming from your soul are serving Satan out in this world, which help then produce and create the kingdom of darkness on planet Earth. Your spirit must rule your soul. Your spirit must have knowledge. And it must tell your soul, we're not going to vote that way. That's not how the God or Jesus Christ would not vote for that. He would not vote for killing an innocent baby in the womb. Wouldn't do it. If you don't believe me, you go ask him. You go ask the King of Heaven, the King of Life, the great creator of all life. Would he vote for death? To kill an innocent baby in the womb. Find out for yourself. So we're in a battle. We have an adversary. He is a king, a prince, a ruler. He deals with words and culture. He's in the spirit. He has angels. He has all kinds of beasts that work with him. He's trying to get you to serve him on planet Earth, to help him build his kingdom that goes against the kingdom of heaven. He is an adversary of Christ Jesus. He is a real being. He is eternal. He has a lot of servants, a lot of help. He's at work. And you either serve him or you serve another. I serve the King of the Kingdom of Heaven, the great I Am, Christ Jesus, the image of God. I don't serve him, I fight him in prayer, through truth, by getting educated. I travel to his kingdom, I go behind his enemy, my enemy's lines, and I reach out. I've faced him face to face. Go watch a movie, The End of Days with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Go watch the movie about Emily Rose. Go watch the movie called The Last Rite with Anthony Hopkins. I'll show you true stories. The Catholic Church believes in Satan and demonic spirits after you've had a thorough medical checkup. And they have what you call exorcist who will cast them out. True story. The exorcist. It wasn't a little girl that Linda Blair played, but a boy. And there is a prequel to it that is true. He is real. He is here on the planet. He has one third of the angels that fell with him who become demonic, evil, wicked spirits. They are at work in everything. They're trying to have a kingdom down here on the planet. Control us. Control nature, control the animals, and get us to be everything that God isn't, to be God's enemies in our words, our thoughts, our deeds, our imaginations, and our spirit. So here in this big book called The Kingdom of Darkness, we're going to go through different areas that I studied about him to help you. So be encouraged, get educated, learn. I remember when I started reading some of the first books about this, I was frightened and I had to pray for strength. Because when the realization comes that he is real and what he does to people is so horrible and how he treats humanity and nature. I even tell nature when it's lightning and tornadoes are looking like they're coming, I speak to him and I say, clouds and wind, you do not have to serve him. He is not your master anymore. I am. I am the King of the kingdom of heaven. I have been given all authority on earth because I learned in a story called Dr. Doolittle and Narnia that all of nature is here to help us, support us, and bless us. But first, you better ask it to forgive you for spilling blood on it. It has cursed us. The water won't come. The plagues come. The locusts come. The earthquakes, volcanoes, the storms. The earth has a voice, and it is fighting back against humanity. I learned that it too is subjected to this guy. He uses nature that was supposed to be for us, to be a blessing to us, to help us. Even our physical body is earth, and it is supposed to be a blessing to us and help us, but we mistreat it because our soul is so messed up. I speak to the weather to say, no, you will not serve him. You will not come here. Be peaceful. I pray over the water. I tell people in Africa, you have no water because the water is cursed. It's fighting back. Go and ask its forgiveness. Pray over the water. Tell the water and the earth you are so sorry for spilling blood and your hate of God. And God and the earth will help you. We are meant to be rulers, not him. The earth is here to serve us, but we mistreat it. We mistreat the animals. We kill people. We have wars. We lust after sexual pleasures and drugs. We hurt ourselves. We hurt other people because we're greedy like him. We want money, 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 power, pleasure. We want to be satisfied. And we don't care who we hurt. Businesses only care about making money. Interest, greed, that's all going to go away. But right now, this young man is beginning to learn about the God he's been serving, Satan. He's been hearing truth. I mean, he would used to come to me on the phone and I'd talk to him. And when I talked on the phone to one, I maybe have hundreds listening in the realm of the spirit. People don't understand. They're blinded. They need truth. Slow truth. And the enemy will send out scramblers. That means if I'm talking to you and I'm telling you the truth, he'll put something between you and me and it'll scramble it all up so what you hear is not what I said. And I had to have a lot of multi-generational Satanists didn't hear what I said. I had to have them repeat what I said to them. And I would say, that's not what I said. And they'd say, that's what I heard. Because the scrambler was talking to them to steal away the words of truth and light. Be encouraged. Don't be afraid to learn truth. He might come and make you feel intimidated. You might get a thought. Your family might come against you. But stay steady. Learn about your enemy. You are either a captive or you are fighting against him. Many people have fought against him and lost their lives. And they go willingly. We call them martyrs. Be encouraged. There's hope for you and the next generation to come. All right, we'll pick up again in the next part of the Kingdom of Darkness, Spiritual Babylon. Your Heavenly Father, be with them as they sort of go again over this, the truth. Let the truth sink in. Let them ponder and think about it so that you can shed your light on them. Bind up Satan so he cannot interfere with your words. And let them begin to see and know the light of the truth. of their enemy, Satan, the adversary of God, the king of Babylon, the king of confusion, lies, death. Father, help them as they work through their life to come to the truth. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, I'll see you next time in the next part of The Kingdom of Darkness. Bye.